Parshas Bahar is short. It's a short parsha. So every year in Parshas, sometimes it's connected with B'chukosai, but whenever you have just Parshas Bahar, I always talk about the same Rashi, because it's like probably the most famous, one of the most famous Rashis in Chumash. So at the risk of being monotonous and boring, let's talk about that Rashi again. What's the Rashi? The Rashi, quoting Chazal, of course, says, Ma inin Shemitah Eitzel Har Sinai, because the Pasuk is about to introduce the laws of Shemitah, and in introducing the laws of Shemitah, the Torah tells us that it happened Bahar Sinai. Okay, of course, everything that Hashem told us was at Har Sinai. So, Ma inin Shemitah Eitzel Har Sinai. Generally speaking, we don't mention the location of a given mitzvah. So Rashi quotes the answer from Chazal, Ma Shemitah Kloloseho Upratoseho V'tiktukeho V'sinai, Avkulo Nemru Kloloseho Upratoseho V'tiktukeho V'sinai. Meaning, Shemitah is not being singled out as an exception, it's being singled out as a prototype, that this is an example, but really Kalat Arukula is like Shemitah. And just as by Shemitah, all of the details are from Har Sinai, so to every mitzvah in the Torah, all of the details are from Har Sinai. So one could discuss how the answer doesn't really answer the question. I mean, that is a fair question. That the answer, why does the answer not answer the question? The question is, why did you single out Shemitah? And the answer is, we singled out Shemitah as an example. Okay, so why did you single out Shemitah as an example? Then Shemitah shouldn't have been the example either. The whole thing is very, very difficult. But let's focus on a little bit of a different point. The Gemara in the end of Maseches Zvachim, Zvachim Daf Kuf Tes Zayin, the Gemara records a machlokas, whether what Rashi tells us is true, whether it's true that Kloloseihen and Pratoseihen were b'Sinai, were given at Sinai. The Gemara tells us that Rashi is quoting the position of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva holds that all the details were given at Har Sinai. Right? You need a good topic for Shavuos if you have to give a chaburu or a shir or something. What was actually given to us at Har Sinai? Right? Rabbi Akiva says everything, all the details, all the pratim, all and the klalim. But Rabbi Shmuel disagrees. Rabbi Shmuel says klalim were given at Har Sinai. General ideas, basic rules at Har Sinai. The pratim at Olam Moed. The pratim were filled in later. The details, not at Har Sinai. So, as much as Rashi's answer is aligned with Rabbi Akiva, l'chora one could ask l'fi Rabbi Yishmael ma inyan shmita etzel Har Sinai. Meaning, the answer certainly doesn't work. Even if the answer works on some level, it certainly doesn't work according to Rabbi Yishmael. So, if you were to reformulate Rashi's question, one could ask the question l'Rabbi Yishmael ma inyan shmita etzel Har Sinai. According to Rabbi Shmuel, why is Har Sinai singled out? Why is Shemitah singled out as the mitzvah associated with Har Sinai? Furthermore, there's a medrash in Vayikra that comments on the pasuk, Baruch Hashem alachav gibori koach, osei dvaro l'shma b'kol dvaro. And the medrash says, Ezo hi gibori koach osei dvaro. Who are the gibori koach, the mighty people that do the will of God, that do the word of God? Shomri Shvius, people who observe Shemitah. So apparently, observing Shemitah doesn't just mean you're religious. It doesn't just mean that you are an observant Jew. It means that you are a gibor, right? How does the Mishnah say Ezehu gibor? Yeah. So what does that say? It doesn't say Hashomer Sashvius, right? It doesn't say observing Shemitah. It says Kovish Yitzro. And so what in the world does this have to do with gevura? There's some type of gevura that the Medrash is talking about. I don't know. I would have said, observing Shemitah. Not only that, the Medrash assumes that it makes a person like a malach when a person observes Shemitah. Because it's using a pasuk, it's really a description, Baruch Hashem malachav giborikach. It's really a description of malachim. If you had to pick a mitzvah that makes you like a malach, you ever feel like a malach in your life? You ever like have a moment where you're like, oh my God, this is what it feels like to be an angel? You ever have that? If you did, I'll tell you when it was. It was right at the end of Ne'il and Yom Kippur, probably when you were in yeshiva, right? Meaning like you didn't feel like there was no, food wasn't even on your mind. It was just like a malach. You feel like a malach. I would have said doing Yom Kippur right, that's when you feel like a malach. But no, when do you feel like a malach? When you observe Shemitah. How do you observe Shemitah, by the way? You're a farmer, what do you do? Nothing. You could theoretically, not that this is what we recommend, you could theoretically just binge watch like on Netflix for a year. And you know what that normally makes you feel like? You don't. But I from what I understand, what it normally makes you feel like is, oh my God, I just wasted an entire day, and like, I don't know, I didn't know a person could eat that many chips, and it's even humanly possible. It doesn't normally make you feel good. And yet, that all it takes to observe Shemitah is just don't do anything. Don't go plowing in the field. Don't go working. How does that make you feel like a malach? So two questions. First of all, Rashi's mind in Shemitah Yisrael Har Sinai, his answer is his answer, but his answer only works according to Rabbi Kiva. According to Rabbi Shmuel, what would the answer be of mind in Shemitah Yisrael Har Sinai? And second, why is it that the Medrash associates Shemitah with observance of Shemitah with being like a malach? So my favorite sefer on Chumash is the Be'er Yosef, of Yosef Salant. This Rabbi Razin always tells the story that Rabbi Yosef Salant used to hold drushas in Yerushalayim. Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Orbach used to go to the drushas, and Rabbi Shlomo Zalman told him at some point, you must write these down. That this is it's too valuable for it to only be by word of mouth. You have to write it down. And so was born the Sefer Be'er Yosef. And that was great Eitzah by Rabbi Shlomo Zalman. The Be'er Yosef explains that people are able to overcome a very strong Yetzer Hara, typically for a very short period of time. Let's say you're trying to watch what you eat, right? So you see that whatever your weakness is, the piece of chocolate cake, that you know you shouldn't have it, and you resist, but then they bring another dish, and another, and you resist each time. Now, I've been in this position where I was trying to eat healthy, and I go to a wedding, and there's like so much and so much good, and you know, and I'm running from one simcha to the next, and you know, I have all the excuses in my mind. I'm probably not going to be able to sit down and have like the chicken and the vegetables, so I have to eat at the shmorg, and then I have to eat it after, grab what I can, and I resist simcha after simcha on a Sunday in June. Oh my gosh, a Sunday in June, and simcha after simcha, I resist everything, and then I come home finally at, I don't know, 12:30 at night, and I just peek in the fridge. And it's over. Next thing I know, it's like 1:30 in the morning, and I've eaten the entire fridge. You know? Because I resisted. I was so good. And don't you get points for that, right? You should lose weight just by resisting. But that's not the way it works. Ultimately, you wear down. And, before going to bed, you notice just a little bit of cheesecake. Oh, one or two or three pieces aren't gonna kill me. And you came. The human capacity to overcome Yetzer Hara is actually quite great. Meaning, if we know, here's my moment, I have to fight, I have to, and we're actually pretty good. But it normally comes with a time limit. We normally need to re-energize before facing the Yetzer Hara again. If it keeps coming at us, ultimately we start to, we weaken. The farmer during Shemitah is not tasked with gathering all of his produce for the year and in a heroic moment giving it all away. Maybe that would be easier, right? If he gathers in all this produce, right, and then one day just sends a truck, a shipment to some soup kitchen, and it all goes to tzedakah. Hard to do, a whole year's worth of produce from his own field. Hard to do, but if it was a moment, if that's what it was, that might have been easier. No, what does he have to do? He has to open up his field every day, and watch as poor people or anybody just walks into his field and leaves with whatever they want and takes his stuff. The relentlessness of that Yetzer Hara, the consistency with which it comes for an entire year, every single day, that requires a superhuman level of gevura. That requires a different madrega of gevura. So how do we do it? After all, lo nitna Torah l'malachei hasharis, the Torah wasn't given to angels. We can't be expected to be angels. So the answer is that while the Torah wasn't given to Malachi Hashareis, it was given to Malachim, because we have the capacity to surpass normal limits of human gvura in our service of Hashem when we want to. Maybe not Malachi Hashareis, but Malachim. We can be like Malachim. We have the ability to raise ourselves up to go beyond what the normal limitations of human behavior are. Where did we get such a koach? We got it at Har Sinai. The Kolbo explains that while we lost a certain angelic complexion and character at the Eitz Hadas, right? At the Eitz Hadas, there was a certain intangible that was lost from humanity, because with that first sin comes a certain vulnerability. We regained it at Har Sinai. Pasku zuamason, Chazal tell us. That zuama, that's that little something that brought us down a notch, brought us back up at Har Sinai. In fact, that's how the Kolbo answers the line in Dayenu, which says, of course, the famous kash, Ilu kirvanu l'chein Har Sinai, v'lonas l'lonas atara Dayenu. Right? And then, you know, at your Seder, someone says, oh, why would it be enough if Hashem brought us Har Sinai? And you're like, you want to shoot them? Because, like, come on, how many times can I hear that same question, right? It's like, it's definitely a top five of questions that are asked at every Seder through the history of, you know, of human existence. But Kolbo says, so Taka, what's the answer? So none of the 15 items identified in the Dayenu would have actually been enough on their own, but they're all inherently valuable. What's the inherent value even of going to Har Sinai? The rest of them, I understand that they have some value. What's the value of Har Sinai? Kolbo explains, the value of Har Sinai was Pasku Zu Amasa, that we became angels. We increased our capacity to fight the Yetzer Hara. There are other answers, of course, as well, but that's how the Kolbo understands it. Being at Har Sinai allowed us to lose that zuama. It allowed us to go back to that sense of malachim. Rav Yerucham Levavitz points out that the Gemara Naval Dezara says that the Umos HaOlam can't believe that the Jewish people really keep Shabbos. They hear about Shabbos, that there's such a thing, and you don't go to work, and they said, Yehuda'i lo menatri Shabbata. They can't imagine that it's true. Come on, when they're in their room at night and no one's looking, they're texting. Okay, maybe some people, but for the most part, they can't imagine that Jewish people are actually observing Shabbos, that we're actually keeping Shabbos. Is it really possible to ignore if your cell phone is buzzing? You know, if the the ESPN alert comes and it's like and it's an important playoff game. Is it really possible if you're a real fan? Not to look, not to check. It is. It's possible to ignore the buzz of the phone once or twice. And the Umos HaOlam understand it may be possible once or twice. But our phones are relentless. Right? How could it be, the Umos HaOlam say, that we could continually fight that Yetzer Hara? That there's no limit to our gvura in fighting that Yetzer Hara. That over and over again. That's what they don't understand. They don't understand how much we're willing to give up for Shabbos. They can't imagine that because the Umos HaOlam were never at Har Sinai. They were never supercharged. So they only have the regular human capacity. They never had Pasku Zu Amasa. We had that experience of going back to being like Malachim, to have that superhuman Gevura. I'm reminded of the time many years ago, like a decade ago, I would imagine, maybe more, there was a popular singer. He's probably still popular in some circles. At the time, he was a religious Jew. I don't know if he is or not anymore. I don't check his tzitzis. But there was a religious. He was at the time he was a religious Jew. Matisyahu, right? Remember Matisyahu? So he had what one good song, right? So he was interviewed. Maybe at others, I only know of one. He was interviewed by one of the late night TV hosts. I don't remember if it was Jimmy Kimmel or Jimmy Fallon or some other Jimmy, I don't know. But he was interviewed by one of the late night TV hosts. And the talk show host said to him, would you do a concert on Friday night, like on the Sabbath? And he said, no. So the host said, okay. What if I offered you $1 million to do a concert on Saturday? And he said, no, I wouldn't do it. And he said, oh, okay, $2 million. If you offer $2 million, then you do a concert. And he said, no, meaning the whole premise was that he couldn't imagine that there is no limit, that this is just something, this is just the gevura that the Jewish people have. Okay, whether that gevura stayed or not, but I mean, he couldn't imagine that's the way a religious Jew looks at Shabbos. That it's just a non-negotiable. We greet Malachim on Shabbos because we're peers with the Malachim on Shabbos. We're contemporary, we relate to them. Shemitah, by the way, is called Shabbos L'Hashem. It's a Shabbos. It's a form of Shabbos. What makes it like Shabbos? It's the relentlessness of it. It's the gevura that it takes to be able to observe it. You know, we don't appreciate it as much living in 21st century America. But in early 20th century America, you know what it was to keep Shabbos? You know what kind of challenge that was? Of course, not everyone passed that Nisayon. And that's where the Young Israel movement started insisting on like a 9 o'clock Shachris Minyan. Why 9 o'clock Shabbos? Because Hashkama Minyan was there for the guys who were working on Shabbos. They would daven at 6:30 in the morning, you know, regular davening with talis and everything, and Kriya Sator, the whole business, and then they go to work. So the Young Israel movement was like it was a major tikkun, daven misman Kriya Shma, but you're going to daven late enough that you can't work. That was, of course, now we should revert back, obviously. Now that we're not working on Shabbos anyway, and it's just a matter of, you know, maybe going to a chavura, maybe learning a little bit after Hashkama, so we should daven early enough to not miss my Kriya Shema. But that was the tikkun. I mean, Shabbos was, you know, what in Sinos, you lose your job every single week. Says the Meshech Chachma, that's the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, with Hashem testing the Umos Ha'olam with the mitzvah of Sukkah. Right, the Gemara at the beginning of Avodah Zarah, you know this Gemara, yeah? The Umos Ha'olam at the end of days are going to say, no fair, you gave the Jews the Torah, we didn't really get a chance. So Hashem says, oh, mitzvah kala, I have one mitzvah kala, let's try this out, let's see how you do. And Hashem says, try sukkah. So they put up a sukkah, you know, they go through, and then he takes the sun out, motzi chama min artika, and they get all frustrated and upset. Sukkah also requires sustained discipline. Everybody who puts in a long work day or busy season at work, accountants before April 15th, some of you will know one day, lawyers working on a big deal that have a big, a big deal coming up, whatever it might be, you look forward to when it ends. You look forward to when, okay, and there's like the light at the end of the tunnel. Imagine if right after closing that big deal, when finally the weight is lifted off your shoulders, your boss says, we need you to put in another late night. Very, very hard to take. I know that the worst time a mashulach could ever come to my door, meaning sometimes it's like hit or miss because from the perspective of the person coming to collect tzedakah, because he doesn't know what's going on in my life at the time, right? So the worst time is right after I get home after a long day and I finally sit down to have dinner. And like, finally, you know, I'm not, you know, I don't have responsibilities to the outside world. Finally, I'm home. I can talk to my wife, my kids. I just need to relax a bit. And then comes that knock. That's the worst time he's going to come. He's, you know, it's very hard to react in a positive way at that time. After a long summer in the fields, plowing, planting, nurturing, harvesting, gathering, you finally get to go home. And then Hashem hits you with, say me diras keva, v'shav b'diras aram. Get out of the diras keva. Go back out in the field. Go back outside. What do you mean? I'm done with my outside time. The whole summer I was looking forward to finally being able to go back home. And now, that extra gear that we show, where we show what a Jew is capable of, that's when we function like a malach. That extra gear is the malach gear. That's something the Umos Ha'olam can't possibly fathom. So the Medrash asks, Mehecha Natal Moshe, Karnei Ahod. Where did Moshe get the shine on his face? And what's the Medrash's answer? Medrash has a few answers. One of the answers the Medrash gives is that little extra ink that was left over after he finished writing the Torah, he rubbed it on his face, and that's why his face shone. That angelic countenance was achieved when what? When after the most major accomplishment in human history, writing the Torah Kedosha, writing the most important book in the history of the world, writing God's autobiography, but there was still something left. When he used that little something that was left after that, after he had already done everything, and he pushed a little further, that's when he became like a malach. Right? That's the imagery of that extra ink. That extra ink means I've already done it. I took care of it. I wrote the whole Torah. When you utilize that extra ink, that's when you become like a malach. So my inyan shmita etzel har Sinai. Let's go back to the question. The capacity to fulfill the halachas of Shemitah is derived from the Har Sinai experience, from Pasku Zuhamasa. It was only at Har Sinai that we got that extra gear. Why are Shomrei Shvi is described like Malachim? Malachi Gibori Kalach. Ezu Gibor? HaKovish Yitzro. It's easy to be Kovish Yitzro once, but to be Kovish Yitzro over and over and over again, that's Gevura. That's a Gevura that we would have associated with Malachim. That relentlessness, that long-term commitment that it takes to observe Shemitah, that's like a Malach. Our minhag on Shavuos is we stay up all night. Why? Because we demonstrate that we're willing to push beyond our limits. Right? That's what we did. In recent years, there's been a minhag that many shuls started on the second night of Shavuos. Have at least an hour of learning on the second night of Shavuos. Why? When you've given it everything, give it some more. Do a little more. You know, you sit down, you try to say, okay, I'm going to learn a solid Seder right now. Right? But you're looking at the clock, you know, 12 o'clock, 12 o'clock. I'm going to learn until 12 o'clock. Imagine, give it another 10 minutes. See what happens to you then. That's a Malach. Right? That's the capacity that Klal Yisrael has. That's Shabbos, that's Shemitah, that's Har Sinai. And that's ultimately, you know, that's how we do it on Yom Kippur. Why is it that Ni'ilah does that to us? Because we're done. We're starving. we already put everything we have into all the other tefillahs of the day. And I've got one more tefillah. It's not even a normal tefillah that we daven. You know, I daven Shachris, I daven Musaf, I daven Mincha every day. No, one more extra tefillah. And that's what gives us the feeling of a Malach. It's that extra. Beyond what you're used to, beyond what you thought even possible. That's ultimately where we get to the Shemitah, Eitzel Har Sinai.